Farmers in Northern Ireland are making a big push to get a better deal on food prices. There's been a massive controversy in the last few weeks across the water over milk prices. And tomorrow, farmers here will be selling their produce directly to the public on Belfast's Antrim Road to highlight their cause. The UFU, the Ulster Farmers Union, say food prices aren't meeting the rising costs their members are facing. But do you back the farmers? Do you think they deserve a better deal? And if it means a higher price for your weekly shop, paying more at the till, is that a price worth paying? And is it a price you're prepared to pay? I'd like to hear from you on that this morning, 08459 555678. If you're a farmer, pick up the phone, tell me what it's like for you. We usually say on the coal face, I suppose it's on the farmyard face for you, but let me know what it's like to be a farmer in Northern Ireland at the moment. And joining me now is Harry Sinclair, President of the UFU. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Linda.
And also commentator Catherine Zrodecki, and I'll talk to Catherine in just a moment. But Harry, tell me first of all about this protest that the UFU is going to have tomorrow in Belfast. What exactly is going to happen?
Well, tomorrow we're aiming to sell produce including milk, beef, lamb, potatoes, vegetables, chicken and bacon at the farm gate prices to demonstrate just how little farmers actually get for their produce. We've faced a year where a lot of input prices have rocketed, some as much as 90% over the last two or three months. And the weather conditions has made it extremely difficult for a lot of farmers. And all these issues are being ignored by the other members in the food chain, and farmers are really suffering at the moment.
There'll be people who'll say whatever the weather, the farmer will moan because it's either too hot, too wet, too dry, too cold. There'll be people who'll be saying, this is our weather, this is our country.
Yes, but at the end of the day, we have to deal with it and the cost of that. And people, what we're saying is the food chain isn't working. There's not money being passed down the food chain to cover these extra costs.
Well, explain to me and to our listeners the food chain and where it's going wrong. Because obviously, all we can do as consumers is pay the price that's on the packet or the food at the till. So we've no control of that price, except we want to get a good deal.
That's right. Well, I'll give you an example. Actually, was brought out by one BBC programme not so long ago, was actually on the milk issue. With average price of milk, it's 48 pence a pint now in the shelf. And today, out of that 48 pence, the retailer gets 27 pence. The processor gets 7 pence. And the farmer gets 14.
And how much does it cost the farmer to actually produce that?
It's costing at least 17, 18 pence per pint to produce that. So every pint that is sold at the moment on the supermarket shelf is costing the farmer money.
Well, now, I'm not a farmer and I'm not an economist, but if the farmers united and refused to sell it for that price, surely the processors would have to pay a reasonable price.
Well, that's what this whole is about at the moment, is trying to raise that. Whenever you're working with a perishable product, you have to keep it moving. It's not a cycle that you can just switch off a machine and let it sit for a number of days. You have to still keep the whole system running.
Yes, but you're the Ulster Farmers Union and you have the strength and the clout that if the dairy farmers get together and say, we're not selling at that price, there won't be any milk. So why should the consumer be the ones that have to be the guilty ones in this chain? We're just paying the price that's on the shelf.
Yeah, we are not. This protest is to highlight to the consumer how the food chain is not working. You know, the unfair distribution along that food chain. There's a lot of things can be done without prices have to be increased, and that's the point we're trying to make.
So tomorrow you're going to sell milk, beef, lamb, potatoes, vegetables, chicken and bacon on the roadside, is that right?
Well, it's at the outside of our own offices on Antrim Road, and halfway up the Antrim Road. So we're doing this basically to highlight the issue that the food chain isn't working.
And what would you like to happen? What can the public, what can we, the public, do to help the farmers?
Well, it's just, you know, we have to, we see supermarkets now making issues about sustainable farming. What's sustainable about buying product that's costing more to produce than what they're paying the farmer for? So, where's that produce going to be in a number of years if that doesn't change? Farmers, we can't afford now to keep farming and not make a profit. The cost of everything, and it's the same as any individual householder, the costs have risen dramatically over the last two or three years.
The cost of food has gone up dramatically too. I mean, food has got more expensive. We had many years of comparatively cheap food. But I'm wondering, are the public behind you? And stay with me, Harry, for a moment, because commentator Catherine Zdecky has been listening to that. Catherine, can we, the householder, afford to pay more? Are you prepared to pay more?
Absolutely not. I think the food is far too expensive as it is. I think many households are really struggling to afford to feed their families, you know, at the moment. I don't think it needs to be changed at all. But what I do say is that the problem is clearly with the supermarkets. We've allowed the supermarkets to become these massive middlemen who can do what they like with us and do what they like with the farmers. I totally support the farmers on this. I think the farmers should bring their produce to market themselves all the time. I would buy from them absolutely all the time. I would buy at supermarket prices directly from them so they get the profit. I think this is the only way to go. And I think it's a tragedy that farmers are living in such circumstances. And I also think it's a tragedy that supermarkets have been allowed to sit in the middle as middlemen. But one point I would like to raise is I looked up farm subsidies on the internet before I came on and had a little look. And the biggest recipient of farm subsidies, to the tune of £800 million over the last few years, is actually Tate & Lyle. And the second highest recipient is Nestlé. Where are our farm subsidies going and what's happening to the farmer? What's happening to the money coming from Europe that's supposed to be going to the farmers? I want the answer to that question, please.
Well, Harry Sinclair, as president of the UFU, there are big subsidies for farmers. Are they not sufficient? Where are they going? Are they not doing the job they're intended to do?
Well, the whole subsidy regime, our support mechanism, changed a number of years ago, and the demands now been set by Europe as to deliver a lot of what they call public goods, environmental goods, delivering things to help the environment. And that all costs money for a farmer to deliver. So that's on top of the actual food that's been produced. That's where the problem is arising now. Our farmers are suffering. The produce in itself is not paying on its own. And farmers are in a difficult position.
I'm still not entirely sure what you think tomorrow will achieve if the weakness in the food chain is the processors and the supermarkets, and we're at one end having to pay and the farmers at the other end not earning enough. Why target the consumers? What surely your fight should be with the people in the middle.
Well, this is a step in that process. This is actually highlighting the problem, and that will then hopefully get the consumers on behind us. And I'm glad to hear that we have the support.
But realistically, what can we do?
Well, we can actually bring pressure to ask questions whenever you're buying produce. Is it locally sourced? Is it, as they call it, sustainable produce? As consumers have to ask that question, do they want food there in a number of years from local farms?
Are you really saying then we've got to pay more then to keep the farmers in business? That's inevitable.
Well, they'll have to pay more or putting pressure on the whole chain that it works better.
The other option here would be, of course, that the supermarkets make less of a profit.
Well, that's the question we hear quite regularly. The profits of the supermarket chain have been published every year, and they're not small figures.
So they're creaming it?
Well, that's the question that we...
Are they struggling like the rest of us? Because if money's tight, you know, there's less money going through the till. Let me bring in a milkman. Well, you were a milkman, Ian, is that right?
That's right. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Right. Young donkeys years ago, way about 40 years ago.
When we had
I reckon where the rut set in was when the milkman started supplying shops. I was guilty of that too, for I used to supply... I started supplying shops and with milk, and actually that led to the what you call the thin end of the wage. It was only a matter of time when the big supermarkets and the dairies, they started supplying the industry with milk, and it was only a matter of time before Tesco's and all that would go for their head. Another thing, what did happen too, was the milk marketing board. We had a milk marketing board here, if I can remember rightly, that it fixed the price to the farmer. Now, the government, the milk marketing board was very, very stern and very hard to negotiate, but they were very fair, and if you could prove a case, you got the price for milk. And after all, you must remember that farming is a seven-day-a-week job, and it's 24-hour. You have to feed cattle and get up and... No matter what comes or goes, you have to go back and milk the cattle. So I couldn't believe it when I started working outside, when went to work in the industry, that they had double time for a Sunday, had a time and a half for a Saturday. The farmer doesn't get double time on a Sunday or time and a half. But again, I reckon that it was when we the like of the big supermarkets come in, they started to work out that they could make a bigger profit by that. So I'm afraid it's just free market policies. But I do feel very sorry for the poor farmer, because he's working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the 165 days a year. And he must feed those cattle, and he must milk those milk every day. So milk those cows every day. So he must. It's a 24-hour job.
I bet you never thought when you were a milkman 40 years ago that water would be dearer than milk.
I did not. You're right, Linda. You're right.
Can you imagine going round with your milk float with bottles of water in the back and leaving it at people's doors?
Very good.
Change times. But Harry, we were talking about milk there. I know the focus is very much on milk, particularly across the water. But you're talking about all produce. You're talking about beef, lamb, potatoes, vegetables, all of that.
Yes.
We can't blame the supermarkets for everything here, now, can we?
Well, it's just I think that point we're trying is the food chain's not working. There's not recognising the cost of production. People are demanding stuff at a certain standard now. That all costs money. The food chain isn't returning that to the primary producer. And that's the question that needs to be asked. Is the food chain working? We've recently developed a food strategy board in Northern Ireland, and that'd be one of the main questions that strategy board has to address as well.
Catherine, do you think that the shopper cares that much about the food chain, or do they just care how much the actual final figure is when the till rings?
I honestly believe that the consumer just cares about what they pay, to be honest with you. That's the real truth. But I also think that consumers are more and more concerned about what's happening with food. I think people are getting worried about how it's all being processed and how it's all coming to us and what the content is. And I do, again, encourage farmers again and again to come to the cities and sell to us, because we will buy from you. If we find also it's slightly cheaper, you'd be surprised. The queues, I'm not in Northern Ireland, but the queues I find at supermarkets for the reduced shelf are really unbelievable. There's almost food fights going on in London about what's on the reduced shelf. If there's a chicken on the reduced shelf, there's a pandemonium breaks out because it's a few pounds cheaper than it would be if it was at a regular price. There is a market. We are really wanting the food to be cheaper, and we really want it directly from the suppliers. I'd say make every effort you can. I know it's cost money to come in to cities, and it costs, you know, to find a place to sell. But farmers' markets are available, and I'm sure we would buy.
Well, let's hear from some of our listeners. 0845 955 678. George is on the line. Morning, George.
Morning, Linda. Linda, the farming gentleman made the case that he was producing a pint of milk for 17p, I think, and it was, or producing it at a loss, actually, the figures he said.
He did.
Well, in market forces, Linda, does that not dictate that you do something, you diversify, do something else? I mean, if there's a local industry in trouble and not sustainable, does that mean it has to get bailed out by the public purse, or what's going on? You know, it just seems to me a nonsense, this whole argument.
Well, Harry, do you want to take that point?
Well, the down to the question, though, at some years it has been profitable. The last couple of years, farmers have done fairly well. They've made a small profit. The problem with our sector and a lot of produce, it's a long time cycle. From you start the cycle to you actually produce something, and sometimes it's years. And it's not something you can just jump in and jump out of. And it goes back to the question, do people want food or do they not? You know, do they want to have food and know it's going to be there in 2 or 3 years' time? Or are they willing to sacrifice now and let farmers go and suffer and, as you say, diversify away into something else? 2 years' time down the line, will the shout not be, where is our food?
I think they'll probably get it from somewhere else.
Yeah, well, where else is going to produce it unless you can get it at a profit?
I come back to my original point. If that's the amount it costs to produce, if every dairy farmer in the province said that's the price I'm prepared to sell it at and nobody else would sell it for less, that would be it. The actual processors couldn't buy any cheaper.
Doesn't market forces don't work that way, Linda?
Go ahead. You explain it to me, George.
Well, market forces is supply and demand. I heard a person on Radio 5 throughout the week who suggested to the farming community in England that there was too many people in the business, too many suppliers, and that market forces dictated then that the price would be dictated by the fact that there were too many people trying to get a piece of the cake.
So some farmers, dairy farmers, have to stop?
Well, they need to diversify. It's like any other work of life.
So farmers aren't a special case?
Well, they have been for a number of years, but does the price that Harry quoted there include subsidies?
Harry?
The support coming from Europe is exactly targeted at other things which you have to deliver, which cost money as well. There's no such thing as money for nothing in any industry now, and we're all, and especially in the farmers, we see a subsidy come in, but there's demands attached to that which cost money to deliver. That's on a different line. Farmers have been using it to try to keep their production going as well.
Yeah, but in the days of the butter mountains and things like that, Harry, would you not think that that was money for nothing?
And what butter mountains is there? This is, you're talking about years ago. There hasn't been no butter mountains around there this last 10, 15 years.
There wasn't a whole lot of complaining done then.
This is, we're getting it. We're in a different era now. The support mechanisms and all has disappeared.
All right, well then, diversify. Do something else.
Well, we're asking the question, do you want food to be there in 2-3 years' time? That's the question that the consumer has to answer.
Well, that sounds like a threat from the farming industry, and I wouldn't take too kindly to threats. I would get my food somewhere else, Harry.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion, but that's what we're asking, and is that what the Northern Ireland consumer wants?
Well, that's really what you're asking, and you're getting an answer there from George at the moment. You're asking the consumer what they feel about the costs and the reality of how much it costs to produce, and that's why you're going to do this Farmgate, well, not a protest, but a highlighting event tomorrow on the Antrim Road. Let me bring in Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Harry.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? What percentage of the farmer's income comes through the post, the brown envelope?
The percentage of their income?
That's subsidies, I think you mean, don't you, Bob?
Subsidies.
It varies from one farmer to the other. It can be...
Go ahead, Harry.
I'll tell you a question. If you're producing product for less than the cost of production, then your income is all coming in through support because your produce isn't making any money.
So we're paying the farmers then, and then we're paying in the till again.
Yeah. 50-60% of the money comes through on a brown envelope. I would love to be sitting at home for the money to come through to me on a brown envelope.
And again, as I highlighted, this money isn't money comes through for nothing. You have to deliver to get that money.
I would also like to ask Harry, any farms that come for sale around the country, who buys them? But dairy farmers, so they can't be that hard off.
Here's a beef and sheep farmer to join in the fray here this morning. John, good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Where do you farm?
I farm in near Downpatrick here in County Down.
And what is the reality for you as a farmer for what it costs to rear the animals and how much profit you're making?
Yes, well, the best way to get figures on cost is benchmarking. It's done on an annual basis by the department here, by our Department of Agriculture. And benchmarking figures right across Northern Ireland shows that most farmers are not making money from the actual product that they are producing.
So what you're saying is the money's coming in the envelope, which is what Bob's suggesting.
Yeah, the money's coming in. The money's coming in the envelope that has to be used to prop up production. But at the same time, that money is not meant to be used for that there. That money nowadays is meant to go for environmental purposes, for us to keep our farms up to an environmental standard. And that there is what that money is going for. But in saying that there, Linda, there's a lot of your listeners this morning, I would imagine, finding the same sort of pressures outside agriculture altogether. You know, we're not moaning and groaning here, because everybody works hard, not only the farmers. You're up early in the morning just like the rest. A lot of people's doing exactly the same. But it's just that we cannot continue on working below the cost of production. And that is something that our president here has been trying to stress all morning to you. And I hope he's getting it across because we just cannot continue on doing it. And we're not blaming Joe Bloggs out there, the man that's buying in the supermarkets. We know that they are buying our product. They are in annually buying or every day.
So who do you blame?
I blame the supermarkets. They are not giving the farmer a fair deal. They are in a big situation. They can put out the publicity by the way that they're supporting local agriculture. So they are. They are buying the product, but they're not giving for it what they should be giving.
Well, of course, the definition of a loss leader is that the supermarket should be taking the loss in order to bring the people in the door. But what you're saying and what Harry Sinclair is saying, the UFU president, is that the farmers are taking the loss.
Yes, the farmers, that's what I still go back to. Don't believe the farmers entirely. Go to the benchmarking figures that's produced annually by the Department of Agriculture, and it's very plain to be seen that money isn't being made on the farm. It's very easy to say, look here, if you're not making money, why continue on? What are we to do with the grass that we produce? What are we to do with the feed that we have made? We have to continue on using that grass, and it's a long time cycle.
The question is, where's that money coming from to support you? But thank you for the points you're making, John. Let me bring in a few more farmers and callers. Frank and Mr. Harper and Jack are on the line. Frank, to you first.
Good morning to you, Linda. Linda, I'm not a farmer, but I'll say this, I support them 100%. I think farmers are being hard done by these big supermarkets coming into Northern Ireland here. And what we need to do as people, we need to support our farmers. A farmer walks, as the previous farmer says, they walk 24/7. They get no relief at all whatsoever. If they're not working, they're thinking. But I think, honestly, that the subsidies and everything that they're getting should be increased. They should have a fair market whenever they sell their product. And I think everybody should support them.
And the subsidies should not be their entire income. But as a householder, as a consumer, as a shopper, I want the best price, the best value I can get.
You do, Linda, but you want the best quality as well. And there's no point in some of these they say now some of these supermarkets are bringing products in from the Far East and wherever. And I don't think that's right. I think our local farmers should be well supported.
Thank you, Frank, for that. Mr. Harper, we just want to get in a few more calls before we go to the news. Mr. Harper?
Yes, one of your speakers earlier said that we should take our product into the town and sell it. Government rules dictate that we cannot take it into town and sell farm gate product, except we have a lot of rules to do. That adds more cost to us. So I think, you know, that some of these ideas that the people have are silly. Farmers work 24/7. You know, the weather this summer has been atrocious. We should have had second cut silage and we haven't even started.
You see, there'll be people listening who'll be saying the weather's always the complaint of the farmer. It's too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. There's always something wrong. Jack, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'll tell you what it is. That fellow George saying that he would go elsewhere for his milk is a bit of a joke. You know, where's he going to go if all the farmers in Northern Ireland have to diversify because the supermarkets are paying so little for milk? If it's not profitable for one, surely it's not profitable for anybody. So if they all diversify, are they going to get fresh milk from the mainland UK who aren't getting any good prices for it either?
So are you prepared to pay more to keep the farmers in business, Jack?
Yes, absolutely it would be. Absolutely it would be. Because if you start to go elsewhere, you're not going to get fresh milk. If you have to go to the EU, you will not be getting the same milk that you're getting from Northern Ireland. You'll not be getting the same milk even that you're getting from the mainland UK. You can't go further afield for things like that. It has to be the way it is. If I have to pay a wee bit more, then so what?